You will turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, as we're taking a look here in our study about the ministers of the Lord, teachers, deacons, preachers, pastors, the ministers of our Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're wrapping up this book written by the Apostle Paul to Brother Timothy, a young preacher, a young pastor, if we understand things, at least for some time, possibly in Ephesus, and no doubt was used of the Lord to minister in other places while he trooped with the Apostle Paul. And so it's kind of as it is with the Apostle and the epistles that he writes. There's kind of the wrap up. There's the wrap up. It's like there's great urgency, and I don't know how all it was. We don't know the detail of how it was in the apostle's life, but you know, my mind's eye, I wonder, and that's what I'll tell you. I suppose, you know, maybe it was they were getting loaded up to go on to the next place, and so there was urgency, being unable to write while they were traveling and on the road, possibly. And it just seems like the brother said, "I've got a lot more. I got a lot more to tell you, Brother Timothy, and I'm just going to kind of rapid fire those down, and they got to get that done before they can move on to the next thing." I don't know if it was that way. You kind of wonder about that, but this chapter is somewhat that way in the different things that are mentioned, especially as we get to the end of the chapter, the end of this book. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 1, the Scripture says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed." Here the Apostle is writing, and he's going to get to it in verse number 6, that we need to be content. We need to be content with our station. And the thing is, and our place, and content with what the Lord has given us. That's what we need to do. We need to be content. Now, for one that has, it's easy to say to one that does not have to be content. But that's the message from the Lord. Does this work against us bettering ourselves? Does this work against us working? Not at all. We just need to work and better ourselves to the honor and glory of the Lord. You know, not to let those things, because you and I know that we can take work, we can let work get in front of our family. We can take work and we can let work get in front of our Lord. It can get between us and it can become an idol unto us. As far as this direct reference here about being a servant, being a slave, we got the whole range of being a slave, a bond servant. Brother Mark read about some things regarding Brother Abraham about the Passover. Brother Bobby read about the Passover this morning. You know, this whole thing of being a bond slave and being in bondage and being purchased with money by another. You know, in our day, in our generation, that's a foreign thing. We just don't know about that. None of us have experienced that, being owned by another person. But since mankind has been around, it has been that way somewhere and with some peoples. It's just been that way. And many, many different groups and ethnicities of people have been owned by others. In the world today, slavery, people being owned and sold and bought by others is still in existence. It is. It's that way. It's a part of the way it works amongst mankind. And, you know, I mean, you think about owning someone. Do you want to own someone? No. Who wants to own someone? You know, thank the Lord for the freedom and the blessing of freedom that we have indeed in our country. But our Lord says, let as many servants as are under the yoke. You know, and that's some strong wording there, yoke. I mean, they are bound. They are there. They cannot leave. And he says, as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. Be content with the place that you have. Don't rise up against it. And again, it's hard for you and I to think and consider about the bond servant. You know, it's the way it was with Israel, wasn't it, in Egypt? I mean, they were held captive by the Egyptians. Brother Bobby's read through that account and about the plagues and all that and how the Lord delivered them and freed them. It's hard for us to think that we would be submissive in such a thing. But the Lord says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. See, the difference is for someone claiming to be the Lord's, that they've been saved by the Lord, that they belong to the Lord. See, being a child of God and making the claim that we've been saved, our souls have been saved by the Lord, we also and should know and purport that our lives are in the hands of our Lord. He knows that I'm in the place that I am. He knows my captivity. He knows my indentured servitude. You know, in our country, years ago, there were those that would indenture themselves. They would sell themselves off to work for a number of years because of indebtedness that they had. The Lord knows, and He says, be subject, count their own masters worthy of all honor. You and I, as what we're used to, is we have employers. You know, we're employees to employers. That's typically the way that it is. We work for someone else. And there's for those that are employers, there's the Lord talks to them about how they need to be towards their employees and that. So you and I understand about that, and we need to deal well with those that we work for. Let our yea be yea and our nay be nay, right? We need to meet the job that we've been hired for and not be a slackard in that. Why? That the name of our Lord and the name of God and His doctrine, His teaching, be not blasphemed. See, if we claim to be Christ's, but then we're found slandering our boss, then it can bring down credence to what we would say about the Lord. And the thing is it doesn't mean that we need to be weak or just placid in dealing with things. You know, if you've got an agreement with an employer, we need to deal with that well. You know, anger doesn't really solve any kind of issues, does it? But good dialogue and honesty and meeting in the agreement that's been made in our day, you know, dealing with employers and employees, whatever we were hired to, that's what we committed to, and whatever they committed to as an employer, they committed to, and there's nothing wrong with talking about discrepancies in regards to that. We just need to do that well. And you know, wherever the business is, and granted, husbands will go home and talk to their wives about what's going on at work. Does that happen? Indeed it does, doesn't it? It happens all the time, right? But the thing is wherever the business is at, an employee to an employer, that's where it needs to stay and be dealt with and settled, not us going around and slandering folks and vilifying folks, indeed. But deal with those things there. Because we don't want to be a blasphemy to our Lord. We want to be a good witness to our Lord, of our Lord. Verse number 2, and they that have believing masters, yeah, that could be. In that day, it evidently was, there would be those that would own others that would be folks of faith. They would be saved. Those they that have believing masters, the servants, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, be obedient and where you're at because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. What's he tell Brother Timothy? These things teach and exhort. You know, our Lord Jesus says, with those Roman soldiers, that because of the Roman law that was in the day of our Lord's ministry, and even to the day of these brethren, if they compel you to go a mile, what did the Lord Jesus say? Go two. If they take your coat from you, your cloak, don't forbid them to take your coat too. See, the Roman soldiers were given that liberty. They could put the finger on anybody in the nation to carry their gear and carry their stuff for 1 mile. Roman law. They could do it free of charge. The Lord said, go to. Now, how does that in your old man, my old man, how are we dealing with that? I tell you what, we don't like it, do we? That's what the Lord said to do. He said that Roman soldier wants to take your cloak, you make sure you hang on to your coat. Is that what Jesus said? No, he said, don't forbid him to take your coat too. They that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service. Be obedient to them. Do what you're called to do. See, really, in everything that we've pursued, Have we made our own way? Or have we not been given what we have? You know, we look to pursue. We look to be wise. We need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to be good about business and diligent in things that we have before us to do, our pursuits. You know, young people seek education and then look to do jobs and stuff like that. We need to be diligent in all those things. And wherever we end up, wherever we land, we need to be content with that, knowing that we've arrived there because of what our Lord has done for us. Now, is it possible to be a slacker? Sure, you and I, we can wreck our lives. I mean, we can tear ourselves up, can't we? And so we need to be obedient. We need to be diligent. Do we spend our time following after foolishness? Well, if we end up with foolishness, we've got ourselves to blame. But if we have blessing, it's all because of the Lord. He's given us sense to be able to work and to reason and to understand. And he tells Brother Timothy, he says, you teach these things and you exhort these things, that the children of God are different. If any man teach otherwise, verse number 3, and consent not to wholesome words. He says these are wholesome words. If you run into those that don't want to line up with wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, we've gave some examples about that. Brother Paul's saying, Timothy, you can always go to the Gospels and you can get the words right out of the Lord's mouth in the day that he walked on this earth. You don't submit to those things. What's he say? And if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, here's his state. He is proud, knowing nothing. Now, this one that would be about doing this and having this opinion says that he really knows what's going on. But who knows what's going on? Our Lord God Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ, he knows what's going on, doesn't he? He knows about things eternal. He knows about things that he knows the best place for mankind and for the children of the Lord to operate in, doesn't he? Our Lord presents to us the place and the attitude and the way of blessing. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine, the teaching which is according to godliness, he's proud. And he knows nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. You know, we see that today on every hand, don't we? Strifes of words. You take a look into that. That phrase there, strifes of word, disputations about trifles. Disputations about trifles. I tell you what, you've got this party and this group railing on this group because they stepped off of this with the right foot instead of the left foot. I mean, isn't that what's going on? So in so many cases, just everything, you've got basic, what we would call basic natural common sense. Okay, I understand. Just, you know, you don't put your head under the water. You will drown after a while. I mean, I know that's very, very plain, but we got stuff like that going in our land, and we got people scratching their heads saying, what shall we do? Or then they'll fuss and complain about the kid going to the White House to cut the grass. At least he wants to work. Amen? At least he wants to work. You know, I mean, oh, boy. Woo. The wrath of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God, does it? You can get beside yourself thinking about it too much. But that's what's going on. Strifes of words, disputation about trifles, or whereof cometh envy, jealousy. You know, isn't that what's going on in our day? The revving up of jealousy between, you name a group and get another group that's contrary to them and get them riled up against themselves. Tell you what, it's all part of the spirit of anarchy. You know, we have opportunity. A fool does not use opportunity. But if opportunity's at hand, you need to use opportunity. It's the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy or jealousy, and it comes from that strife. Quarrels. Quarrels about nothing. Railings. Vilification. Vilification because of just nonsensical things, wanting to make somebody a bad guy over nothing. But I tell you what, it's telling about our day, isn't it? Isn't it telling about our day? It's just describing it to a T. What's he say here? This one that fights against the words of our Lord Jesus and the doctrine that is according to godliness and that teaches otherwise about contentment and that. What's he say here? Railings and evil surmisings. Suspicion. Suspicion. You know what? We got to be careful about reading situations. And sometimes we can think that we're pretty good about reading character and reading a situation and coming up with the genesis of a thing and the motive of a thing. You know, we all have our opinions about everything. That's being a people. But I tell you what, we need to be careful about what we act on. We need to be careful about what we act on as a church. We always need to be acting upon the facts. And we need to be careful about what we act on as individuals and our families. And here's one of those things, evil surmisings, that suspicion, suspicion, suspicion. What's he say here? Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Perverse disputings. If I understanding about it, this word, or these two words, perverse disputings, is talking about meddling. Meddling in things that they do not need to meddle in. Why is it that there's an issue in St. Louis and people come there from other states to meddle in that business? Why? Because they've got another motive, and they're opportunists, and they're using those things to stir up strife in that community, in that region. It doesn't have anything to do with them. And we know, and even in recent time, that some of that stuff is even paid for by liberals and those that just are anarchist, of an anarchist spirit in our country. Perverse disputings, you know, the synonym for this is misemployment. Isn't that interesting? Misemployment. They need to be working, but they don't need to be working at that. We need to have a love and concern for one another. We need to pray one for another. Let's just bring this back to home. We love one another, and we need to be a help one another and to provoke one another to love and good works. But there's a balance, too, that we need to mind one another's business, don't we? I mean, mind our own business. Yeah, you know, we are connected, but we do need to mind our own business, too. But we are brethren. You know, brothers and sisters know about each other. I mean, you that have siblings, you know all about your brothers and sisters' warts and all those things. You know a lot of things, right? But we need, there's that line, that balance in those things. I tell you what, if we will give ourselves to prayer and things that we think or know are out of whack or that our brothers and sisters need help with, not forgetting to pray for ourselves first, I tell you what, we will all be helped, won't we? May we not be involved in misemployment, but be about the employment that the Lord has for us, the pursuit that the Lord has for us. It goes on here, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. That's what's going on here. Not that of godliness and of the Lord. And what's it say here? And destitute of the truth. Isn't that interesting? There's no truth there. When you can't go look over here in the truth column, it's a big fat goose egg. Why? You deny Christ. You and I deny the way of the Lord. You and I deny the Word of God. We will be found devoid and destitute of the truth. There's only one truth, and that's the Lord's truth. Amen? And so, it's getting down here to it. Destitute of the truth. Listen to this. It's a carnal crowd. It's a temporal crowd, supposing that gain is godliness. If you're wealthy, then you are in tune with the Lord. Isn't that what the Pharisees thought? These sickly people over here. That woman that's had that issue of blood for 12 years, there's got to be something wrong with her. This wasn't that the attitude of the apostles? I find that so interesting. Lord, who has sinned? This man's 35 years old, is that right? 30-some years old, if I somewhere in through there. I think it comes out in that passage. And the apostles say, "Man, who did, Lord, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" There's that suspicion, huh? Somebody's got to be guilty, right? And then he's low. Therefore, he's got to not be right. Society, in a societal sense, he's blind. He's a beggar. Something's got to be wrong. What did Jesus say? Neither one of them, this man nor his parents. But he was born blind that the works of God may be wrought in him. Are you and I ready for the works of God to be wrought in us? Tell you what, it may be hard on this flesh. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to take it well. It's easy to say, may God help us in that. That man was born blind so that Jesus might be glorified and that that man ultimately would be saved. Oh, yeah, and he had his sight restored too by the Lord, didn't he? So perverse disputing, men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. I tell you what, this is a long list of being away from the Lord and His truth and His way, isn't it? Supposing that gain is godliness. Well, you know what the brother writes to Brother Timothy says? From such withdraw thyself. He says, pull back from them. Pull back from those that say that they're the wealth that they have and the benefit that they have in this life is a sign of their godliness before God. Now, who blesses? We read it this morning there in James. Our Lord blesses. He blesses spiritually. He blesses materially. It all comes from Him. But just because, and we need to thank Him for all He does for us and all that He gives us. But just because somebody has the wealth of this world doesn't mean that they're locked in with the Lord, that everything's great. Because you know what? Satan uses wealth to deceive people. Remember the man that we looked at here not too long ago on a Sunday morning? Had a bumper crop, had to tear down the barns, had the wherewithal to tear down the barns, built the new barns, put the crop in there, and said, hey, let's take it easy, soul. And you know what? That didn't mean a lick to the Lord. Tonight, your soul's coming back to me. He said, thou fool. But godliness, what's it say here in verse number 6? But godliness, being like our Lord, being like God, may that not be, you know, we have a temptation, godliness. Well, I don't want the world to think of me as being too straight. I don't want the world to think of me as being holier than thou. You know, don't worry about being holier than thou. You just be holy. You and I just need to be holy like the Lord is holy. And don't worry about how we appear to anybody else. We need to be a good witness, but we don't do or follow or pursue what the Lord has given us to pursue for the sake of looking good in front of somebody else. If you do what you do to please your pastor, I'm telling you, your pastor is telling you, you're missing the mark. Don't do things to please me. Do what you do in obedience to the Lord to please your Lord. If you're pleasing your Lord, I'll just be tickled pink. Amen? And you know what? If we're doing it to be obedient to our Savior, there'll be no guilt. There'll be no need to hide. And you know what? We'll all enjoy it and have a good time in our Lord. Amen? But godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the gain. You know what this contentment, it's the opposite of covetousness, isn't it? It's the opposite. Contentment is the opposite of covetousness and greed. Contentment. Do you have food? Do you have clothing? He's going to touch on that here in a bit. If we have food and we have clothing, in that we need to be content. I tell you what, that's a stretch from what we've grown up and what our culture has brought us to. You know, there's so much in that, in the generations that come after other generations and all that. We inherit things. We inherit a standard. We inherit a thing that we call a minimum. You know, our Lord Jesus didn't own a house and own the clothes on His back. Brother Jim, are you saying we should sell our house and sell all of our clothes? Only if the Lord wants you to. But I tell you what, we need to be thankful. We don't need to hang on to that stuff. We need to be wise and use it for His honor and glory and the furtherance of His kingdom. And to know that He's given it to us, and whatever it is, be content. Be content with our Lord and His pursuit. May the Lord help us and bless us in that. For we brought nothing, verse 7, into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. The brother had seen so many by this time, having been taken, their bodies prepared, and taken to the sepulcher. And they never took their stuff. And they never took their money. You remember hearing that about the wife that committed to putting $100,000 in her husband's coffin? Y'all remember that? She committed to doing it, and so during the visitation, they had the $100,000 in the coffin and everything. And so now the visitation was over, and so she's in there with the funeral director, and he says, "Okay, ma'am, are you ready to close up the coffin?" And she said, "Well, almost." Said, "Go ahead and get all that cash out of there." And he's kind of looking at her puzzled because he knew about the commitment that she had made. And so he says he was kind of hesitant, but he did so. He said, "But your husband said that was explicit in his will that you do that." And she said, "That's all right." And she's writing out a check and puts it right in there. Because it's not going to do him a bit of good, is it? Not going to do him a bit of good. Because you don't take anything with you. We brought nothing into this world. We came into this world naked, and it's certain. He said, you hear that? It is certain we can carry nothing out. Because you know what? And listen to those words. It is certain. Because when the corpse is lying there dead, there's not the ability to reach out and do anything. He said, I've never seen a dead person grab a hold of a bag of money or a satchel of anything or some prized a token or possession that they had. I've never seen them do it. We need to put things in the eternal perspective, don't we? And our brother is admonished by Brother Paul to do so. And having food, verse number 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You know, we've got a great challenge. There's challenge. There's a challenge. The writer of Proverbs tells us there's a challenge in being destitute and without food, and that a person would turn to cursing the Lord and to stealing. But then there's a challenge with having the wealth of this world and our trust be in that and not be in our Lord. And may we be petitioning our Lord constantly about these things. Verse number 9, he segues into this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, the pursuer of wealth. And again, you know, to pursue and to do well by the blessing of the Lord and what the Lord gives, there's not a thing wrong with that. But to make that the end all of life, like that man that we've seen in recent times, but they that will be rich. I've told you about a man that I knew when I was in my 20s. And his goal was to be a millionaire by the time he was 40. He had 20 years to get it done in. He's going to be a millionaire. And I tell you what, he worked himself to the bone. He'd work all day at that plant, and then he would drive to St. Louis and get some kind of material that he would bring back and sell, and the stuff that he would drive all night going to St. Louis and back to get that stuff, maybe get 2 hours of sleep, be back at work the next day. He was going to be rich. You know why? He's smoking himself to death, and he was skinny as a beanpole and eating Twinkies and stuff on the road. He was killing himself. He was getting into that snare. That snare had him wrapped up and trapped up. He was missing the blessing of his family, his wife, and his children. It was a snare. He was ate up with it. And the thing is, had he ever arrived at it, would he be satisfied? No. No, it wouldn't be. Because why? Because the heart, it wouldn't have got the job done. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and fall into a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So many that win the lottery, the sweepstakes, all those things. We've heard about those stories. Oh, wouldn't it be great to win $100 million and all that? So many lives. The norm is that the lives are destroyed. Because it's just the way it is. When there's a big thing just dropped on mankind in general, no doubt there'd be those out there that would be able to handle it. But if there's just not, they would be few because it's just ruination. Don't know which way, which direction to turn. And you know what happens? I tell you what, that suspicion kicks in because whenever there's the bigger the pile of wealth is, the more you got to be watching what's going on with it. Because Solomon says as much. He said where it's increased, there's a lot more that come up with their hand out. And the more potential for it to be stolen, the more potential for it to be grabbed. And then suspicion, you know what happens typically? People begin to turn in rather than to be able to enjoy it. And it's just really something how we think naturally that one way would be the help and the blessing, and it turns out to be indeed that, what's he say? Which drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition. To be drowned into perdition. When there's great abundance, more than what we just need for daily living, and you get a man that doesn't have to work, you know, again, we mentioned lately, work's good for us. It keeps us out of a lot of trouble. It's good. It's good to work because it keeps us out of trouble. Because somebody with more than they have, more than their daily need, just an abundance, more money that they can ever spend in a lifetime, if they have time on their hands, and they can be tempted to think about things that I can do with money, and they can be found in a situation where they're doing very wicked and very, 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 very evil things. Perdition. And what's it do? It drowns them. For the love of money, not money. We need the filthy lucre of this world. The Lord knows that. And we've inherited the society and the culture that we've come to, good or bad. And we've been born here. We didn't decide this. We just inherited some of the way that just the whole system works and all that. For the love of money is the root of all evil. What's it say? While some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There have been those of the children of the Lord, it was thought. But this love, this covetousness for gathering more and more money, has caused them to err from the faith. To err from the faith. And what's it say? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You know, how many have there been out there that they seek, and all of us no doubt know somebody, they seek wealth, and may they seek influence, they seek power, and this of wealth is being talked about in particular. They seek that, they long for that, they covet after that, they work and they grapple after that, and they think that that's going to make everything just right, and it becomes the very vehicle by which they lose their children. Right? Have we not all seen that? They're talking about pierced through with a sorrow. That because they work so hard, maybe they've been legitimate at the way that they've got their money. Maybe it's all been above board and all that, and they've been blessed to really have a great economic and financial standing. And they've worked very hard, but their children have not worked at all. And they lose their children to dope, to illicitness, to learning, to work hard themselves. Drown men in destruction and perdition, pierce through themselves with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, verse 11, flee these things. May the Lord help us. We're going to stop right there for this afternoon. May the Lord help us that we put things in right perspective. You know how you start with that? How you and I start with that? When you're praying to your Lord daily, Father, help me to keep things in their right perspective. That's a place where it starts, right? Not by sheer grit and will and determination of yourself, but petitioning the Lord that He would move with His Spirit in our hearts and within us, that we would have sensitivity to these things. And when these things would maybe rear up in our lives, and that the Lord would help us with them, we put them in their right place and use what the Lord's given us. Pursue. And not put anything between us and the Lord, but do the things that we are given to do and what's been given to us by Him, and put them in their right place for His honor and His glory. If all of our financial situations all turned upside down this week, it would be an impact to us. I mean, there's no denying, pardon me, that it would be an impact to us. But would it change us? That's why we have to ask ourselves, would it change us? Would it change our attitude towards our Lord? You think of our brother Job. He was mentioned today. And we have that example there with brother Job. Do you think Job was trusting in his stuff? It doesn't seem like brother Job was trusting in his stuff. And the scripture says he kept his integrity. He didn't bail out on God. And I pray that none of us have to go through that. But how would it be? May our Lord help us put things in the right place.